Let's get right back into our series. We're coming very close to ending this particular series, having to do with rediscovering our glory. Amen. Rediscovering our glory. Let's say this, that in receiving Christ as our Savior, the glory, of course, is reinstituted on us in that act. In salvation. I believe we looked at that, but we can go there again and just go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. When we receive Christ as our Savior, God is in a position to bring us back into that glory that was once on Adam in his position as the God of this earth. And that has taken place through the last Adam, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11. The saying is sure and worthy of all confidence that if we have died with him, we also shall live with him. Well, if we're going to live with Christ, it doesn't begin when we go to heaven. It begins when we accept him as Lord. And if I'm living with him now, then I'm living with him in union with him in respect to everything that he won for me. I'm living with Christ or in union with Christ, in the experience of Christ, and that is the new and living way. That's a resurrected lifestyle. Amen? It goes on to say, if we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. So in the process of this experience, then, we have to endure. Amen? Amen. We're in a conflict, as it were. All right? We're being bombarded with things from the world, things from the flesh, things from the devil. Now, the reason you mention the flesh is just simply because the flesh, unattended to, will agree with the things that come from the world. Right? Now, some people take the attitude that they just need to just put to death the flesh. Haven't you ever said that? I just need to put this flesh to death. Well, you just go on to heaven after you do it. Bye-bye. It's nice knowing you. That's not what the Bible tells you to do. The Bible tells you that we are to crucify the flesh, right? Now, unlike Jesus being crucified on the cross, our flesh can be crucified by us as we choose to by renewing our mind. Right? Right? Now, let's just say this as well. Your flesh and my flesh isn't evil. It's not evil in and of itself. But it can be controlled by something evil. And that's when it becomes a problem. But just like the flesh can be controlled by something evil, it can also be ruled by the Holy Spirit. Let's take that get that a little closer home. It can be ruled by your born-again spirit. Yeah, right? There's a term in the scripture says that the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, right? Well, that's not the Holy Spirit, that is your spirit, right? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't lust after anything, right? But your born again regenerate spirit has desire. That's what lust is. It has desire against the flesh, and when you really decipher that, what you're saying is that the Holy Spirit desires that the flesh cooperate with it. Your born-again regenerate spirit desires that your flesh would cooperate with it. If I can use the term it in that particular instance, when I talk about your born-again spirit. And the way that that takes place is through the renewing of the mind. Right? The Holy Spirit is simply... Now, let me back up. I don't want to say that. I want to say this. Your body, your flesh, is simply a vessel that can be controlled by either good or evil. It's simply a vessel. Right? The problem with most Christians is that we don't renew our minds. Because we don't renew our minds, the flesh always has some type of a stronghold against us, or has maneuverability, or has room to move around. See, because we don't renew our minds. Once the mind gains a stronghold, and which is a good place to get a stronghold, right? You know, having the mind of Christ being renewed, that's a good stronghold to have. It's such a good stronghold, you don't want to let go. Isn't it? Amen? So now you, when your mind gets into a place where renewed through the Word of God, and that's the primary way that your mind is renewed, is through studying the Word of God, right? And being taught correctly and seeing things correctly. Then your mind is renewed. Well, your flesh actually receives orders from your mind. See, your spirit uses your mind to send orders to your flesh. All right? Now, that's why we often hear people say, well, the battle is in the area of one's mind. That's what a battlefield is, right? Because if I have an unrenewed mind, Satan is able to get strongholds in my flesh, right? And you can tell an individual, you can tell when an individual is not really being renewed in the spirit of their mind. It's because they believe the things that they feel and see. And that becomes spiritual to them. And they begin to follow it. And it's a deception. It's a deception. See? It's a substitute for listening to the Spirit of God. See, the Spirit of God is given to us to lead us into all truth. So the Spirit of God doesn't communicate with your flesh, right? He doesn't really communicate with your mind. He communicates with your spirit, right? He communicates with your spirit. And he's there to communicate with your spirit so that your spirit can be built up. Now, we need to cooperate with what the Holy Spirit is leading us to when it comes down to being edified, being built up in our spirit. You know, that would just be, you know, what's going through your eye gate, your ear gate, through your emotions, you know, those type of things. we have to govern that. That's very important because that way my light can shine. And we can say with confidence, my life is a bright light. We can say that with confidence. And there's scripture that says, when the eye is single, then the whole body is full of light. Right? Well, when your mind is renewed because you're following the leading of the Holy Spirit, right? When your mind is renewed, then it's sending messages to your body. And the body will respond to those messages that come via the Holy Spirit through your mind. Your born-again spirit through your mind. And the Holy Spirit to your born-again spirit through your mind. That information, you know, your body is going to cooperate with it because it's just a vessel. It's just a vessel. So it will respond to the Word of God that comes via the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, through your mind. Because the body is created to be a vessel and to take orders. Right? To take orders and follow it. See, but, you know, it depends upon what's weightier in my life. What carries more weight in my life? The things of God or how I feel about things? My personal opinion about things. How I, and that's a very, you know, strong I there because it's talking about one's self-interest, how I see things. You know, I never tell you anything that's originally created by me. I don't have an original thought or an original word. And people want to give credit to preachers and teachers and talk about how great they are and all this wonderful thing and what they're hearing. But you don't have an original thought or an original word. We're all saying something that's already been said. See? Right? That's why you got to give the glory to God and get your eyes off men. Hallelujah. So your body will correspond to what is being fed it. Now, it's going to resist, you know, depending upon the state that you have allowed it to be in. Right? So your flesh is going to resist it depending upon, you know, how we've let it go, how we've allowed it to run rampant. They're just going to respond based on that. But that doesn't mean that it won't ultimately respond. I just have to keep at it. I have to keep doing the things that will help me to renew my mind. Stay in the Word, listen to good messages, read good articles and books and so forth, and keep my mind filled with the things of God. Amen. And whenever something tries to enter the mind via the internet, via television or the movies or whatever it might be, the Holy Spirit will check you and help you to see that this won't be really, you know, productive toward the advancement of your spiritual well-being. Because in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he said, I pray, brethren, that the Lord would preserve your spirit, soul, and body blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't put the body first. He didn't put the body first, did he? He didn't put the soul second, and he didn't put the spirit last. The emphasis is put on the spirit first, right? So once your spirit is preserved, it's in a good place, it's perfect, right? There's no obstruction in your spirit toward the things of God. Your soul housing being that part that is your mind, your will, and your emotions, on the other hand, has to receive instruction. Right? It has to receive that download from God. And when it once it receives that download from God, then it's going to transmit that information to your body. Right? See? You get enough of it stored up in your mind, and the Spirit will inspire your mind to think as God thinks. Because the Bible says that we think it, we can think as He thinks, and we can hold His thoughts and His even His feelings and emotions, that we as born-again believers can do that, right? So I mean, when we get the Word of God stored up as it should be stored up, right, the inspiration comes from the Holy Spirit. Your spirit agrees with that, encourages your mind, and really charges your mind to give you the information that you need to speak out of your mouth. Amen. And once you give the command, your body has to respond. How in the world do you think people get free of demonic spirits? And how do you think bodies get healed miraculously when someone prays for them? That's the process. I have to believe in it. Amen. I have to believe in it. With the heart, man believeth, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, unto healing, unto prosperity, unto well-being, unto peace. Amen. So God's desire in helping you and I to rediscover the glory. The glory is there. It's there. But just like that process that I just gave you, there has to be an attending to that, being mindful of it and confessing it, that causes you and I to begin to bear the fruit of that. Come on, tell your neighbor, you can do more than you're doing. You absolutely can, and so can I. Jesus said it, you should do the works that I've done, and even greater works than these shall you do. Amen. Right? We can do that. That's our job. That's what he's called us to. Amen. Now, you don't make up in your own mind what you're going to do for God. If you're going to walk in the glory, it's because you're walking in obedience to what God is saying to you. Right? If there's any confusion about what God is saying to you, push the plate back. Show him that you're serious. Right? And if you're, some of you, you know, you need to push the plate back really in a strong way, because you keep coming back around to the place where you reassert that you really don't see what God wants you to do. See? So you haven't really been serious. Or you haven't pushed the plate back long enough. Right? Sometimes it's a sacrifice. Sometimes it hurts. Right? But what's more important? See? Your flesh resists this fasting and prayer because the mind hasn't been renewed to the relevance of it. See? When the mind is renewed to the relevance of it, the mind says, we're going to pray. And the body corresponds by going down on their knees. You understand what I'm saying? There's not any resistance there. Praise the Lord. So in 2 Timothy again, chapter 2 and verse 12, if we endure, see, that's where the endurance comes from. That's why you have to mention endurance, because you're fighting the good fight of faith. Let me just say this too. The Holy Spirit is not fighting the devil. What for? Jesus has already won the war, so why would the Holy Spirit come down here and go fight and run around trying to find the devil and fight him after Jesus has already won the war? That would be like the Holy Spirit saying, well, I don't think you did everything that needed to be done, Jesus, so I'm going to take it up here and I'm going to run around and defeat the devil. Right? So not even you and I should be fighting the devil. See? You know, this comes to mind, so I'll say it. There are people that are really turned on to prayer, but they pray like the devil still needs to be defeated. That's the way they pray. You know, I read something by a gentleman not too long ago, and the way that he describes prayer is by saying that prayer is pure love. That's the way he describes prayer. Because you're praying to God, the one that you love and the one that loves you. Right? So do you talk to your loved ones like you're trying to beat them up? Is that the tone that you go and talk to them with? Do you go and talk to them like you don't trust them? So you got to raise your voice and make them realize that they're untrustworthy. So you don't talk to God like that. You shouldn't anyway, because, you know, he's good. Amen. So when you go to pray to God, you know, some of the stuff that people are doing, they raise their voice and they sound like they're going to tear something up, to tear it out. Right? You wouldn't say it this way, right? You wouldn't say it this way. But this is the way some people approach God. I'm going to pray. We're going to raise hell today. That's the way some folk approach the Lord. Like they're going to raise hell. Why do you want to raise hell in heaven? There's joy, there's peace, everything that you want in heaven. You're going to go up there and raise hell? See? Think about it when you go to speak to the Lord. I mean, you know, you don't have to really be all that worked up if you know you got the victory. What's you sweating about if you know you got the victory? Praise the Lord. We can handle this, Lord, can't we? Praise God. Yeah, I've given you the victory. Yes, Lord, you've given me the victory. Praise God. Hallelujah. We can handle this. Amen. He goes on to say, it says here that if we deny and disown and reject him, he will also deny, disown, and reject us. And remember, we said that this is no more than the law of sowing and reaping. If my actions, if my attitude, if the way that I carry myself denies what God has done through Jesus Christ, then the end result is that I don't get to experience what he's done through Jesus Christ. See, so he's not saying that he personally is making a choice to just deny you. What he's pointing to there is the law of sowing and reaping, the law of seed time and harvest. Whatsoever man sows, that also shall he reap. Right? If you have a breakdown in any way, emotionally, whatever, psychologically, if you want to use that term, it's not God's fault. I have not attended to something that I need to be attending to. I've dropped the ball somewhere, and that's why I just lost it. It's my fault. See? Right? Now, that doesn't ever have to happen. If you haven't gotten it, you should get Apostle Fred Price Sr.'s series on fail-proof living, if you haven't gotten it, or you may be able to go on the internet to his website and be, I don't know if you can or not. If you've got Roku, you can. You can go there and you can pick it up on the messages that they've downloaded there. But it's a wonderful series and it teaches you, you know, the process of living a fail-proof life. That's possible. Very possible. And Fred Jr., his son, who's pastoring the church there, just recently brought out something I thought was awesome as well. He wasn't teaching on living the fail-proof life, but he needed to bring out something from it in his series on holiness and the fruits of holiness. And he said that, and you know, in all of those things in there that it says, you know, to this you add this and that you add to the other, every one of those things are being added to your faith. Faith isn't being added to you. All of those things are being added to your faith. So see, you have the faith, right? Every one of you as born again Christians have received the measure of faith. But those things there in one of the writings of Peter, it has to do with you adding that to your faith, your responsibility in doing certain things. So we have to attend to the right thing so that we can have the right end result. Amen? This is all a part of explicitly giving forth on our lives in a very tangible way what people will see, which is the glory of God. It's not an emotional experience, it's a reality. Amen? It's a reality. It's not an emotional experience that you work up tarrying at the altar. It's not it. It's a reality. And the scriptures and the message of the kingdom helps you and I to rediscover that, cooperate with that, and go in the confidence of it, doing the works of Jesus. That's what it's all about. God is glorified as we give ourselves to this. Amen? Let's see now. Let's move on just a little further here. It says here in verse 13, if we are faithless, do not believe, and are untrue to him, he remains true. So now you see it's going into a different phase there. It's not saying if you are faithless, then he'll be faithless towards you. See, because he can't be. God cannot be without faith. Well, Lord, must have lost your faith because the world's going to hell in a handbasket. You must have lost your faith in it. No, he gave the world over to you. If you don't like the world, change it. Amen. We have dominion. We have authority. And we can exercise that authority by the use of the name of Jesus, right? We're anointed with His anointing, right? We have His authority, and we have His name. And those are our credentials. Amen. So in your world, you're supposed to make it like Eden. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you don't like your wife, it's your fault. Amen. Adam, attend unto Eve, and she'll be everything you want her to be. Right? You let her get loose and get out there and operating on her own and start talking about her own ministry. Come on. Talking about her independence and how she going to do something for God, whether you do or not. I'd be rebuking that stuff. I'd be rebuking that stuff. What do you mean, you, whether I do or not? You ain't doing nothing without me. As a matter of fact, whatever you do, you're going to do it under my authority. You just sit down right now. Who you been listening to? A serpent? Who you been listening to? Come on, go with me. We're going through the house and find out if there's a snake in here. Amen. See, in one of Bruce Lee's old movies, I used to be a fan. In one of Bruce Lee's old movies, he came up to this place where he's trying to get into this building, and he had a snake in his bag. So the two guards that were in the building, he just cracked the door, took the snake out, patted it on the head to rile it up, put it down at the door, and it went in, scared the living daylights out of those guys. They jumped out of the window, just tore the window up and jumped out. Right? Well, see, the devil's trying to do the same thing. Right? He's trying to put serpents in your garden. But if you know the word of God, you know the legality of your garden, and so you know exactly what to do whenever the serpents start coming. Amen? And you can get them out. Praise the Lord. It takes clear thoughts and understanding the will of God and the order of God. Right? Follow it. Just follow it. Just follow the order of God, and everything will just be in order in your household, and there'll be peace. Amen? Tranquility. Happiness and every good thing. Hallelujah. So let's see now. Praise the Lord. All right. He remains true, faithful to His word and His righteous character. So, you know, if you want to see the fruit of God's faithfulness, you're going to find it in the word, right? And if you operate on the word, then you get to see the outflow of His character. Because they're one and the same. It's synonymous. See? What was Jesus doing? Jesus said, I have come and I have made your name known to my disciples. And I have revealed your very self to them. Your very character. See? So He began by giving them the word. Then the word was confirmed with signs, wonders, and miracles. That revealed the very character of God. That revealed the very will of God in those situations. Yes, I'll heal you, Mr. Leper. And I'm not going to do it by just speaking the word. I'll touch you. So I could see Jesus embracing the leper. And when He released him, the man was whole. See? You know, but now fear won't allow you to do that. But if you are revealing the character of God, you're showing what God will do. And God doesn't fear anything. Amen. John G. Lake was in a situation where he went into an area, and it was some type of plague, you know, there, some kind of very, very horrendous sickness going on. People were being infected by it. And he was warned not to go in there because he would die. That stuff would kill you. You can't go in there. He said, listen, you could take that disease and put it in my hand and watch it die. Right? That was because he understood what he was operating in. Right? You want to walk in that kind of boldness? Well, then just listen to the Holy Spirit, because He'll lead you to the type of materials you need to be meditating in to build yourself up so that you would just drive every bit of fear out of your life, no matter what kind of situation you may face. I don't know about you, but I want to be the kind of Christian that doesn't fear anything, whether it's sickness or some big old ugly dude that's serving the devil. It don't make no difference what it is. I don't want to fear anything. I want to walk in the glory and the power and the confidence of God no matter what I'm facing. Amen? All right. So he went on to say he'll be true to his faithful to his word, rather, and his righteous character, for he cannot deny himself. You know, that's a good thing to know, that God can't deny himself, because I need him all the time. I'm so glad he can't deny himself. Amen. Well, that just means that when I call him, he doesn't say, who you want? Who you looking for? He never will ever forget who he is. He cannot deny himself. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. That's important, because I had a yesterday. I've been forgiven. I'm living today. I'm walking in forgiveness. And tomorrow, God help me. I don't know what I'm going to face, but he's going to be there. Praise God. Amen. I'm glad that he's that way. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. So the scripture tells us in verse 14, what are we to do? To remind the people of these facts and solemnly charge them in the presence of the Lord to avoid petty controversy over words, which does no good but upsets and undermines the faith of the hearers. Amen. Sometimes you just have to rebuke yourself. You know you've been wrong. Just go and rebuke yourself. Save me. You know, you can cut back on my workload. Praise the Lord. And I can just go on to some other stuff. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Anybody going to help me out? Praise God. Now, that's just a reminder there today. We've already talked about suffering in Romans, haven't we? Yeah? Did we talk about how that you can rediscover the glory because of the cross in Galatians? Did we finish that in Galatians? Or do you know that we finished that in Galatians? You're not sure? You're not really sure if we finished it in Galatians? Would you like to go back to the book of Galatians? Praise the Lord. All right. Go back to the book of Galatians, and we're going to look at look at chapter 6 again. We'll just do this again. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Praise God. It says here, but far be it from me to glory in anything or anyone except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Amen. So far be it from me to glory in anything other than Jesus Christ and his cross. Now, you know, that sounds good in church, but don't you realize that you glory in yourself at times? Anytime you do what you want to do above what you know you should do, you're glorying in yourself. Right? We think that we can afford to just drop out sometimes. Well, Pastor, everybody's got a will. Yeah, you do, but you surrendered that to the Lord when you got saved. Oh, but since then you went back and you took it back, didn't you? Didn't you do it? You don't want to say amen to that? That don't make you want to run? Oh, my, my, my. Yeah, see, you take it back from time to time, you know, and then you use it the way you want to use it. Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. We said, no, Lord, not now. My will be done. I'll get back to you. Amen. Amen. I hit you back. Praise the Lord. We treat God sometimes the way we do our phone, you know, texting people and stuff. Don't. I hit you back. You can count on me. I'll be back. You're not supposed to ever leave. Where you going? Making that sound like it's spiritual and faithful. I'll be back. Oh, my God. Praise God. Be it far from me to glory in anything or anyone except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Now, the order of this is that the world has been crucified to you, right? And then you to the world. So in other words, God, through Jesus, has made the world powerless against you. God, through Jesus, has made the world powerless against you and I. So the world, he crucified it. Right? The world's been crucified to you. So he made it powerless, stripped it of any power and authority that it can be useful against you. And you've been crucified to the world. Right? Okay? So now I have to maintain that area of my being crucified to the world. The world doesn't have any power and authority over me. Amen. Neither does the devil. And Jesus said, behold, I give you authority over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means or in any manner harm you. So he stripped the world, the devil, of its power against us. In a good place. Amen? All right. So now that means that I'm in a position where I can see the glory of God actually working on my life just as it did Jesus. Because Jesus was tried and tempted and tested in all manners of sin, such as we are. That means that the world used everything that it had to try to overcome Jesus. The devil used everything in an arsenal of his weaponry to try to overcome Jesus and failed. And failed. I said they failed. All right, well, you know, that's what Jesus got for me, so I'm in union with him. So being in union with him, I should be able to exercise everything he exercised. Right? I can do it like he did it because he did it as a human being anointed of God. He didn't do it in the person of that glory which he had with the Father before he came as a human being. Because Jesus talked about that, didn't he? He talked about being reinstated into that glory that he had with the Father before he came as a human being. So if he could talk about that, then what he was actually saying was that he was operating as a human being under the anointing of Almighty God. Right? All right. Now, there are certain attributes of Jesus, certain areas where things that was done by him, you know, he did it in that office, you know, that God gave him in coming to the earth, because a human, natural human being couldn't take on all of the sin of the whole world on their body and still live. Right? Praise God, we can't hardly handle cancer. Shoot, you can't take all of the sin of the whole world on you and stay alive and then voluntarily say, now I'm going to die. Huh? Not as a, no, so in that, you know, he operated in the office as the Son of God. He operated there in that place, see? But he overcame and outdid the devil and all of those things for us, right? And when he died with all of that sin on him, our sin was on him. And when God raised him up in newness of life, we were raised up in newness of life, possessing everything that he possessed. All that he won, we were raised up with that. Amen. Praise God. So now go to the fifth chapter. Well, I'm sorry. Go back to verse 9 in Galatians 6. Verse 9 says, this is the first scripture that I opened my Bible this morning to get ready to share with you. This was even during offering time. This is the scripture that I wanted to quote, but it was necessary that I keep it for now. Because of what we've just said, and let us not what? Lose heart. Let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. Amen. For in due time and at the appointed season, we shall reap. You're going to see the benefit and the blessing of sowing yourself to the things of God. You're going to see it. See? I mean, the only reason that you wouldn't see it is if you do faint. That's the only reason that you wouldn't see it, you know? And because some of us have been saying, I'll hit you back and all that stuff so much, we're just delaying the manifestation of it. And then the devil comes and questions, well, you see, that stuff don't work. Wait a minute. You hadn't been working it correctly. It's not that it doesn't work. You and I haven't been operating in it correctly. And then we want to just accept what the devil says because we're growing weary now and just give up on the process and find somebody that'll teach something that doesn't involve all this work. Find somebody that doesn't teach all that, see? It doesn't involve all that. You don't have to be responsible for so much. That's heavy stuff up in there. I can't follow all that. Yes, you can. You're a son of God. What do you mean you can't follow it? You're the child of the King. Let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right, for in due time and at the appointed season we shall reap. Say, I shall reap. All right. And he says, if we do not loosen or relax our courage and faint. You have to be courageous. Amen. Yeah, there's some churches you have to use courage to go to. You have to use courage to come up into a word church. Amen. Can't be no weakling, fainting Christian. Stay up in him. Praise the Lord. If you just look like you're going to faint, we'll resuscitate you. Is that in the Bible, resuscitate? I don't think that's in the Bible. We'll do it anyhow. Praise the Lord. If you don't want me to kiss you, you better not faint. I'll get you down on the floor. Amen. I'm going to open that mouth, put some word in it. Praise the Lord. See, people didn't necessarily care for the way Jesus taught and the way that he ministered. I mean, how many of you would like to come up for prayer and I just spit to the side and take my tongue and just slap you upside the face with my tongue? Be up in there going, I'm all that. You wouldn't know how to take it. But Jesus took his tongue and touched that man's tongue, and he went speaking. And he didn't deny it. Man, he must have really wanted that prayer. Now, the Bible doesn't say it, but Jesus probably had to tell the man, open your mouth. Stick out your tongue. I leave the rest for your imagination. Praise the Lord. What did I say? Galatians 5. Yes. Galatians 5, verse 22. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law that can bring a charge. So there is no law either from God or earthly laws that can bring a charge against what he says we have. That's the fruit of our spirit. See? All right. And he goes on to say, if we live, well, let me go back to verse 24. He says, and those who belong to Christ, the Messiah, have crucified the flesh. Right there it is again. Now, he didn't say you killed it. That would be suicide, wouldn't it? I'm just going to put my flesh to death. Bye-bye. Amen. Make sure you got your house in order, because the government's only going to give you $250 for that pine coffin. Don't want to leave no burden on your family. Amen. Pray. If you know you're going to do that, at least you ought to get you some death and burial insurance. Amen. We ain't going to be using the building fund to put you in the ground. Praise the Lord. All right. And those who belong to Christ Jesus the Messiah have crucified the flesh. The godless human nature is the way that it's described right here. Amen. Should I address that? Praise the Lord. You're born again, so really what you have is a divine nature. That's what you have. And so what you have to partake of is more of what you have, which is God's divine nature. That's why you have to train, or you have to feed, would be a better way to put it, your spirit. If it wasn't necessary for you to feed your spirit, then what's the use in having the Word of God? What's the use in preaching the message of faith? Your spirit has to be fed, right? It's not that I'm looking at two natures within me, right? If you still had a godless nature in you, then that would mean that you're a sinner and saved at the same time. Isn't that right? Right? That's why John's, you know, over in his message there in the little books of John, the little three books of John before the book of Revelation, talks about how that if we have God, then we sin not. Right? Now, he's talking about a continual practice of habitual sin that you were involved in before you became a born-again believer. Right? So that's, you know, people today would like to say that we're sinners saved by grace. It's totally untrue. That's not true. That's not Bible. That's not Bible. See, the Bible doesn't teach you that you're a sinner. The Bible says that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So if you make a misstep or you commit a sin, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus that made a misstep or sinned. So all you have to do is go to correct that and just keep your position. You never become a sinner. Kind of technical, I understand that. Amen. That's why you need to come to church. So you understand these things. Amen. If you come to church, you can get this, you know. But if you don't, you know, just like anything else, you just can't put it together. You know, but you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're not a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner, but you were saved by grace through faith. Now, that equals the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You didn't know you could do that kind of math, did you? That's what, see there? That's good math right there. That's the highest form of math right there. Forget statistics and all that other stuff. Man, we can do the highest form. Amen. We're way ahead of them. Actually, you're really way ahead of scientists because you're a believer. They pretty much use all of their ability and their knowledge to disprove faith. And the harder they try to disprove it, the more they confuse themselves and come to a place where they realize, well, now we can't disprove that one. Let's move on to this. And after a while, if the Lord tarries, they're going to just disprove their way of believing altogether. Now, whether or not they accept Christ is still up to them. See, it's still up to them. They still have to make the choice themselves willfully. Amen. Where were we? I went to another planet. Praise the Lord. Verse what? 24? Is that because you don't want me to deal with verse 23 anymore? No, it's because I was in verse 24. That's right. And those who belong to Christ the Messiah have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature, with its passions and appetites and desires. Now, verse 25. If we live by the Holy Spirit, if we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line. Come on, so somebody tells you, you need to get in line. We talk in our circles. This is what we're talking about. You need to get in line. Amen. Our conduct controlled by the Spirit. Right? That would mean our conduct would be controlled by the Spirit. Can you say that your conduct is being controlled by the Spirit? I'm not looking. Can I look now? I want to start looking in a minute. Let's go to another question. Can you say that your conduct is being controlled by the Spirit? All right? Let us, verse 26. Let us not become vainglorious and self-conceited. Boy, that's not being controlled by the Spirit. Competitive, that's not being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Competitive has something to do with covetousness, doesn't it? Right? And challenging. Uh-oh. Some of God's people are challenging to the pastor. Amen. That's something that we can repent of right there. I know, Pastor, the way I've been acting has been challenging to you. Provoking. Yeah, that too. Irritating. Irritating even to one another, not just the pastor or leadership, but to one another. See? All of this is involved. I mean, you know, folk like to go to church and make a big to-do about church, put a good shout on and a good praise on and a dance and a good hallelujah and just go home and live out of control. Just live out of control. Everybody knows whether you're happy or not, whether they come in your room, you know. They all know. And yet we think that all God's concerned about is what we do in church. Like that's the main concern. Just what's happening within that period of time that worship starts until the pastor lets us go so we can get some lunch. That's the highlight of most people on Sunday. It's church people. Lunchtime. Eating the same food you eat all week. But in excess, because it's Sunday. Amen. Oh, my God. Envying and being jealous of one another, that's no way to have to end the chapter. So you realize then that originally this wasn't written in chapter and verses, because you ain't ending no chapter like that. No, you go right on and say, brethren, if any person is overtaken in misconduct, or sin, of any sort, you who are spiritual, who are responsive to and controlled by the Spirit, should set him right. Who are you to tell me you're not the pastor? Yes, that's what we say to one another, isn't it? You're not my pastor. You ain't got no right to tell me nothing. But it says right here, even if I wasn't the pastor, but if I'm living a Spirit-controlled life, I have a responsibility to set you right. You know, now if the husband or the wife is walking in the place that they need to, there can be some discussion about that so that you and I, as outside of that union, don't have to come into it. But now if you're a single person, you ain't got nobody to speak to you, I volunteer. Should set him right or her right. Let's just get it right. Come on now. And restore. Now look at there. Restore to what? Huh? You're not walking in the glory when you let stuff overtake you as a Christian. So you have to be restored. We can't afford for you not to be restored. So go ahead and get mad. Amen. Just be angry and sin not. But here come the truth. Just like they used to say, here come the judge. Here come the truth. Right? And reinstate him or her. That's our job. God told us to do this. Don't be telling me I'm meddling. That's our job. You can't remain a part of the body of Christ and not do what God tells you to do. Right? And do it, it says, without any sense of superiority. You don't have to do it with a sense of superiority when you're under an order, right? When they tell you to do something on your job, you don't go out with a sense of superiority. You just heard from the boss. You go do what he tells you to do. Right? Well, God's our boss. All right. Reinstate him without any sense of superiority and with all gentleness. You know, the way I'm teaching it will not necessarily be the way that you will go about doing it. Right? This is a message. But that don't mean that you're going to go about it trying to step out there and say it like I said it. Amen. Step in my office. It don't fit. You won't fit there. You just can't do that. Right? He said, do it with all gentleness. God, if you're following the Lord, if the Lord is leading you in something, then you should follow him in the same spirit that he's revealing it to you. Right? Now, you've seen this happen. Somebody sees somebody in a wrong, and you know that they're wrong because you have some discernment. And you're going to go up to them raising your voice, acting all spiritual and rebuking the devil. Now, you didn't see God reveal that to you that way, but you took it on that way. Oh, glory to God. I got a word from God. I'm going to tell you. And here you go. Elevated voice and everything. God gave it to you with a small, still voice, and you're going out there like a trumpet. All gentleness. Keeping an attentive eye on yourself. Because when you go like that, guess what? You've just judged them. And you know what's going to happen according to Matthew or somebody? You're going to be judged. Amen? You're not like the man that I heard about that said, judge not and you will be judged. Because he wouldn't read his Bible. See, he didn't have it right. Judge not and you will be judged. That's not what the Bible said. Why don't you read your Bible? Judge not that you be not judged. Keep an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should be tempted also. Bear, endure, carry one another's burdens. So if you're carrying somebody's burden, you're not fussing at them at the same time, are you? That's a love act. Amen. I've had people help me with my burden. That's a love act. I appreciate it. Amen. Troublesome moral faults. I've had help with that. Thank God somebody helped me. And in this way, fulfill and observe perfectly What are you doing when you do that? You're observing perfectly the law of Christ and complete what is lacking in your obedience to it as well. Amen? Complete what is lacking in your obedience to it as well. God would not reveal something like that and get you involved in the moral places of someone else's life or something that's wrong in their life, except that he also, see, God is smart. The reason why he'll allow you to have discernment in something that somebody else is involved in so that you can be very gentle, loving, compassionate toward them, help them to get through it, because you got the same dang thing wrong with you. And you know it. And you need to be compassionate and love somebody in that area, sow in that area, so that you can receive your hundredfold or whatever it might be on your own life. God knows what he's doing. He's helping us, praise God. Somebody give him some praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord.